When cancer and the beginnings of dementia required my 80-year-old mother to move into a nursing home, the room she shared with a roommate first seemed painfully small. Yet as Mom's health declined, she hardly filled the bed, much less the room. Nursing homes often get a bad rap, but if you look beyond the antique reproduction furniture and the harried staff, you will find a lot of love there. A family, maybe not so different from your own. One afternoon during my weekly visit, I rolled Mom out to the front porch of the facility. I hoped the late afternoon sunlight would warm her body and thaw her frozen mind. We sat together among white wicker furniture and red geraniums with my former high school basketball coach and English teacher, Coach Krim, whom we lovingly called Coach K. He developed early onset Parkinson's disease in his early 60s. Now his big hands tremble, except when he hugs you. Then he is strong again. One of the newest residents, Mr. Eugene, sat nearby. A spry gentleman with a boyish grin, he tells me of the circumstances that brought him here. I admire how graciously he has accepted his new station in life. Soon, a group of visitors began to arrive in a ramshackle of pickup trucks and SUVs. They exchanged pleasantries with the residents, guests, and staff. It's the night for picking and grinning. Men with their womenfolk in tow file in, dragging guitars and sound equipment. At 10 till 7, we make our way towards the dining room. I take turns pushing Coach K and my mom down the hallway in their wheelchairs, while Mr. Eugene totters ahead to get a good seat. A serious, determined man appears in the doorway. His darting eyes and mouth shaped like a dash make him appear always in a hurry. It's Mr. Everhart, wearing his signature baseball cap. As a World War II veteran, Mr. E has traveled all over the world and has the hats to prove it. We take our seats as Mrs. Simerson rolls in beside us. She speaks very slowly and deliberately. From her electric wheelchair, her body movements are restricted by a stroke's paralysis. She is a wise, incarcerated old owl. The musicians assemble on the makeshift stage. It reminds me of a rerun of the Grand Ole Opry. On this night, Elvis is there, the elder, not the younger, with his signature swagger. His pompadour shows traces of a Grecian formula comb through, where it has been severely slathered to one side. His voice is raspy from a recent bout with bronchitis. Little Jimmy Dickens struts around the stage like a banny rooster. Despite his small stature, he is obviously the leader of the group. He sings some mournful old hymns and throws in a recitation or two. Porter Wagner makes a big deal of pretending to invite me on stage to sing a duet with him, mostly because I am the only woman there capable of moving around on her own two legs. I decline. Mr. Everhart keeps shooting me looks of disapproval. I can tell he doesn't like me sitting with the newcomer. Mrs. Simerson mouths something to me, but I cannot hear her over Elvis. I reach over and pat her hand. We are a sad-looking lot, yet sitting there among the group of misfits, I am suddenly filled with peace. We are all misfits, aren't we? I know God smiles on us, especially in this place. To the beat of I'll Fly Away, I clap my hands and tap my foot to the music. The crippled nod their heads, and my mom nods off to sleep.
Life is over, I'll fly away to a home on God's celestial shore. I'll fly away. I'll fly away, oh glory. I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, by and by.
joy shall never end.